great Kohan Tobiah Hawkins.
Great gallery. You may all be seated. You know, when we all come to the house and we get understanding, and when Pastor brings this understanding to us, it brings joy. It brings joy to me, you know, understanding the things around us, why they take place, and like the new moon, the Sabbath days, all those things, when he explains that to us, and how, you know, the world doesn't understand these things and this great blessing that he's been to us as a family. And it's just been great that we're all getting the opportunity here to prove ourselves to be fit for Yahweh's kingdom and get this knowledge that no one else in the world is getting at this time. So, praise God. I'd like to read something out of the Sabbath booklet. It's not a booklet, it's a book. It's on page 4. It says, Yochanan was sent to prepare a people for the work of Yahweh. Yochanan was sent by Yahweh to get the people ready to be used by Yahweh. Yochanan came to prepare them spiritually so Yahweh could work a spiritual work among those who were prepared. So he was among those who were prepared. It says, and then it says, one of the hardest things for people to accept is the fact that sin cuts you off from Yahweh. Many times I've heard people tell me that they are serving Yahweh, but the only service they are speaking of was lip service, which will account for nothing on the day of sentencing, when the whole world will be judged according to their works. Just as in Revelations 20, 12 through 13, and it says, not by what they say. So we want to be judged by our works, not by what we say, but by our works. So what kind of works is he talking about here, and what is Pastor preparing us for? So is he talking about the works of our hands, the working with our brothers and sisters, the working with our families, or the working of keeping Yahweh's laws? He's talking about all of them. Everything we do 24/7 every day, and that's the difference between the house of Yahweh and the religions today. You know, we are, you know, 24/7 about Yahweh's laws, and we need to be. Let's read Revelations 20, 12 through 13. It's on page 984. It says, and I saw small and great standing before Yahweh. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And you heard Pastor talk about the book of life and how to get your name written in the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. There's that word works again. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, the death, the shallow, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. So according to your works, we need to be mindful of how we interact, how what we do when we do break Yahweh's laws. Pastor brought it out, I think, a couple feasts ago. When we do break Yahweh's laws, we need to repent to Yahweh right away from breaking his laws and converting. You know, in confessing and not going back to that. That's the converting part. And examining ourselves, examining what took place in that situation and how we got to that point where we were breaking Yahweh's law. and make those changes in our lifestyle. And how do we make those changes? We go to these classes and we learn about and sit at the feet of the teachers in the afternoon and the morning services and get this knowledge out of the books of Israel, the book of Yahweh, the workshops, learning how to solve problems using the peaceful solution. All these are going to help us change that lifestyle, that old lifestyle that we want to get rid of and become Yahweh's people. Okay? Praise Yahweh. Let's turn over to page 169 in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, 13 and 14. It says, Yahweh will make you the head and not the tail. You will be at the top only and never at the bottom. If you will pay attention to the laws of Yahweh, your Father, which I command you this day, and are then carefully to observe and do them. So if we pay close attention to these laws and observe them, you know, we will have the everlasting life, the keys to the kingdom. For if you diligently observe and do all Yahweh's laws, then you will not go aside from any of the laws which I command you this day, to the right nor to the left, but go after any by going after any gods to serve them. You know, because we are being judged, like I said earlier, day in and day out, 24/7, by what we do, how we interact with people. Are we showing love and concern to our brothers when we interact with them? We need to make decisions not on our emotions, but on the laws, and make righteous decisions. And in verse 15, it says, if you do not obey Yahweh your Father and do not carefully follow his laws, his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you and accompany you. And you can see that in the world, that the curses, we can see it in the news when the Great Khan brings the news out with the what they've done to the food supply, the environment. You know, these curses that man has done to the earth, to themselves, you know, by not following Yahweh's laws. We are seeing, you know, just in the advertisements, you know, they seem funny, but they are very serious when they promote their product in a positive way. Then they say they have this disclaimer saying, well, this might occur, and all these things occur because you're taking these drugs. So we need to be mindful and be diligent in observing all of Yahweh's laws. In verse 28, verse 1, it says, if you listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh, your Father, by observing and doing his laws, which I command you this day, that Yahweh your Father will set you high above all nations on earth as his kings and priests. And who is Yahweh's people? We are Yahweh's people, right? Praise Yahweh. And he's going to set us up high if we follow him and be obedient to everything we're instructed to do, either by the Kohans, the Kohanas. And who is the voice of Yahweh in these last days? Israel Hawkins. Praise Yahweh. So Israel Hawkins is the voice in these last days, just like Moshe in his time. You know, he spoke to the people just like Pastor speaking, bringing Yahweh's laws to us and breaking it down. In Deuteronomy 30, it's on page 173, 14 through 20, it says, the law is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death by destruction. And that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, by keeping his laws, statutes, and judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you are going to possess. So, if we do these things, Yahweh promises that the blessings will come. And that's how important we need to stay focused on, you know, our studies, the things that are going to change our character. And then it says, but if your heart turns away, you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to submit to the gods, to go back out into the world. And Pastor is showing us, just in the news, all these shootings and killings in the schools, in the bombings, that it's not safe out there. This is the only safe place on earth right now. So, to worship them by serving them, I declare to you this day that you will surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Arden and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. You know, because you are a free agent to make your own choices between righteousness and evil. So it's back to making righteous decisions. He gives us that choice. If we are going to start a conflict with somebody, or are we going to, make that right choice and show love how we want to be treated, in different situations, showing that love to that brother and understanding, that situation and getting a positive result out of that. And, he gives us that opportunity, but it is so often, by the movies, by the television, that they show evil, they show the wrong way to handle the situation. And that's what we got to get rid of in our minds. And a lot of us have been brought up in that without that teaching of Yahweh, without that teaching of Israel, the house of Yahweh, we need to make sure that we get that and make the right choices. Just like he says, we're a free agent. But, we need to make sure we're making that right decision all the time, okay? It says, choose life so both you and your children may live. And that right there, both you and your children, that's how we're going, that's why it's so important that you spend the time. If you're a father, a mother, you spend the time with your child. Come up to the sanctuary and spend the time in the classrooms. Because you also can make that difference by your example. Okay? We need to make sure that we're changing our children's lives. It says, so you may love Yahweh your Father by listening to him and then obeying him, holding fast to him, for he is your life. He will also give you many years in the land he vows to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, let's turn over to Deuteronomy 32, a couple pages over, on page 175, and 32, 6 through 7. It says, do not repay Yahweh this way, O fools and unwise people. Is he not the father of you? Is he not the creator of you, who made you and formed you? It says, remember all the days of old. Think of the generations long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you. Ask your elders, and they will explain. Did everybody watch the film during the feast with the testimonies in it? And do you guys... Praise Yahweh. Do you remember the example that the person gave when they left the house when they were young? There was a testimony of a person that when she was young, that she left the house and then she came back to the house. You know, there was a very important reason why Pastor put that in there, because, you know, he's showing you that there's nothing out there. We need to be staying here in the house of Yahweh. There's nothing but sin and wickedness in out in the world. And we need to keep our mind focused on the kingdom and Yahweh's plan. And if you have problems, get with your counselors. Because, you know, there's only two options. Either we can listen to Pastor and obey what he says, and our names will be written in the book of life, or not. It's as simple as that. So when you go and you listen to all these, do all these things out in the world, I mean, you need to be thinking about that, how serious this is in these last days. And, you know, the effort that goes in, it's not going to be easy. Yahweh says it's not going to be easy making into the kingdom, you know. But we can do it. It's possible, okay? We need to remember that. Praise Yahweh. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46. It's on the next page over. He says to them, "Take to heart all the words I testify among you this day, so that you may command your children to carefully observe and do all the words of this law." And you can remember Deuteronomy 6:7. It says, "Teach them diligently to your children. Teach the law diligently to your children." He says, these are not just idle words for you. We need to remember this, that when Pastor gets up here and speaks, the Kahans, the Kohanas, when they're given instructions, they're not just idle words for us just to, well, I don't think you really meant that. I mean, I think I can do this and I'll be all right. Well, you're not. It says, these laws mean life to you, and by them you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan and possess. So we need to remember that these are not just idle words, and how important just asking a question, getting counsel. Counsel is very important. To get that understanding of the law, you need to go to the priest, to sit at the feet of the priest. Okay? Don't go on your own understanding, because that's where you're going to get into trouble. You're going to be writing your name out of the book of life if you do. Okay? If I'll turn over to Exodus 17, page 59. Okay, it says, 17:1-3, it says, "Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, traveling as Yahweh commanded, where they were encamped. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled in contempt with Moshe and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moshe said to them, 'Why are you quarreling with me? Why do you tempt and test Yahweh?' It says, 'But the people thirst for water there, and the people murmured against Moshe and said, "Why do you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?'" In this example here, that water can be anything. It can be your own test. But you need to understand, in this situation, they should have seek counseling and got the counseling they needed. Why were they brought up there? Are they not waiting on Yahweh? Are we not waiting on Yahweh when we come across this, when we murmur against the house? We need to examine ourselves and use these examples that are in the scriptures to change our character, change our lifestyles, and not be these people that murmured over water. Yahweh provides everything. We got to remember that. We got to trust in Yahweh and praise Yahweh. We may not understand at the time, and a lot of things you don't understand at the time, but there is a reason for everything that occurs in the house of Yahweh. Okay? Praise Yahweh. And that will help you if you keep that there's a reason for everything. You just might not understand at the time, but Yahweh will reveal it to you when it's time. Okay? And we got to remember that these are not just idle words. And when we make decisions, you know, they're making decisions on their emotions in this chapter here, as far as, you know, they're not reasoning with their thoughts as far as waiting on Yahweh. And, you know, and that's what we got to be mindful of, that we make decisions on facts and not our emotions. And that's how important it is, because, I mean, you can see that when we make decisions on our emotions, we're usually confessing about it, you know, because we didn't make a wise decision, okay? And then we have to repent and convert, you know, and change that, you know, and examine ourselves and make sure that we don't go down that road anymore. We stay on that straight and narrow path, and we're not off to the side, you know, trying to get back on that road, you know, hitting all the potholes and, you know, in the ditch and everything. And, you know, we stay on that straight and narrow path and examine ourselves. Because it is pretty tough down there in the ditch when you're examining yourself. And hopefully you go to your kohanas and get back on that path. So, praise Yahweh. Let's turn to Moshe on page 696. On page 696. It says, can two walk together unless they are in agreement? And that goes along with everything I've been talking about. And we need to show love and concern to our brothers so we can walk together, so we can, you know, work out our differences. They're really not differences. They're just, you know, things that come up that, you know, in our past that we, you know, you know, what we're doing is we're thinking about ourselves, and we're not thinking about, you know, Yahweh's plan. When we come up and we have a difference with our brother or sister, you know, it's all about us at that time. Okay? And that's what we need to start overcoming so we can walk as two together in agreement. And that's what, that's pretty simple how to put it, I think, so we can, you know, walk together. And over in Moshe 5:4, it says, Yahweh said to his house of Israel, seek me and you will live. And that's what we need to do. We need to seek Yahweh's house. We need to come to Yahweh's house every Sabbath day and participate in the Sabbath day and show love and concern to, you know, our brothers. Turn over to Deuteronomy 17. It's on page 161. 9 through 11. It says, go to the priest who are Levites, to the judgment who is the judges that are in office at that time. Ask for their decision that they may give you the sentence of judgment. You must act according to the sentence they pronounce for you at the place the Yahweh chosen. Be careful to do all that is ordered for you to do. And that's what we got to be careful that we do all that we're instructed to do, and not go, you know, on our own understanding, and, you know, have that willingness in our heart and our mind that, you know, we are to do what we are instructed to do. When we're giving tasks, it says 11. According to the laws they teach you, you shall do, and according to the decision they give you, you shall do. You must not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left hand from the sentence they pronounce to you. This teaching that Pastor is bringing us in this knowledge and this everything that he's giving us at this time in these last days to better ourselves, to bring forth the kingdom, to show us how the kingdom is going to be laid out, is a great blessing, because, like I said before, no one in the world is showing anybody except Yahweh, Pastor, at this time how this kingdom is laid out. Let's turn over to Proverbs on 5:11. To be for my last scripture. Proverbs 23, verse 16. It says, You will make my innermost being rejoice when your lips speak right things. And pastors brought this out before about the way we speak and how we speak and the words we use, because you can't take them back. I mean, there was a thing on the news when a news reporter slipped up and said something he wasn't supposed to on the news. You know, that's what we got to be mindful of, how we interact, how we talk to one another, the words we use, and how important that is, because it's going to bring the innermost beings of Yahweh rejoice if we do this. If we keep His laws, if we do exactly what we're instructed to do and follow the one He has sent in these last days, is Rawkins. So, praise God. So at this time, if you all please stand, I'd like to introduce the great Kahan Sefania Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We're going to start this morning with a story about the drought, which they give a lot of percentages here and a lot of numbers here, but the bottom line is the drought's worse this year than it was last year. They've got a lot of different ways of measuring the drought. They have moderate drought, light drought, heavy drought, but don't pay attention too much to all those numbers. But the bottom line is that compared to last year, it's about 50% worse already, and we haven't even gone into summer yet. And then we have a story about millions of people being asked to conserve electricity. This is from last week, but we didn't have time to play it. But a San Jose, California power station was sabotaged by people who obviously knew what they were doing. And this is an act of terrorism. Of course, they're not talking about it much in the news, but they cut out the power to millions of people, and they knocked out their 911 service. And whenever you see this term terrorism, just think war. That's really what terrorism is. It's war making its way into the United States itself on the mainland. And then we're going to have a story about, remember, Pastor mentioned what motivated the bombers in the Boston Marathon. And when I first talked to him about this story, the first thing he told me was it was Afghanistan and Iraq. And that's exactly what the man said in the hospital. And this is right straight from Scripture. It's Genesis 4:15. Whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the whole world has gone the way of Cain. So if they stop attacking these people, they will stop attacking us. And then we had a story about, has Syria crossed President Obama's red line? And there's two stories here in a row from 2 days, the 25th and the 26th. And they're talking about whether or not Syria has used chemical weapons. And if they have, that will mean the United States has justification to go in militarily into Syria or to support the Syrian rebels with weapons funding. But the bottom line on this is to watch the legalistic lingo that's used by the reporters doing this story, because what they're doing is they're injecting themselves into a case, and they talk about a case and evidence and the strength of the evidence, because they're looking for a judgment here, and they're trying to get a war against Syria going, and they're using the media to convince those in power to make this decision. And not just the populace, but they're actually aiming this at the people that have the power to make the decision. But listen, you'll think you're listening to a lawyer who's talking. And then we have, and they use very credible people to do these stories. You know, if you did have a case you needed to make for yourself, you'd want one of these guys to be your lawyer. And then we have our U.S. threats at North Korea really aimed at China. And this talks about how the conflict with North Korea is really the United States is, in the meantime, it's surrounding China. And Obama used the term a pivot toward China a few years ago, and people thought maybe that meant peace. But what they're finding out is that the U.S. has built a super base in South Korea. They put more battleships in Singapore, stronger relationships with Myanmar, which is a bad thing for China, and increased troop levels in Japan, the Philippines, and northern Australia. So this is all showing this build-up toward this war that's prophesied that's going to kill a third of the people in the fourth part of the earth. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Boy, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The news, it's kind of humorous sometimes. When I saw that, you know, that found this chemical warfare being used and said what it was, and I said, wow, you know, if they'd examine the last swimmers that went to Possum Kingdom, they'd have excuse to go over there and bomb them people for chemical warfare. We got stronger chemicals than that in our lakes today. And more of them too. Here they're blowing up all kinds of doctor's offices and drug stores and hey, we found a chemical here. Get them troops over here. Let's take this country over quickly. Well, that's the world. The cards. We have cards. You see them anywhere? Cards. Where did we lay them? Table. Where? Prophetic word. Where's the prophetic word, Skip? Nobody knows. No, I'm just okay. They're on that. Same play. Oh, you got one. Okay. Oh, y'all already got them. How'd you do that? Y'all got them over here? Oh, they're way ahead, all y'all over there. They're going to be a witness against you here. Well, anyway, we got some great cards here that these will fit in your shirt pocket easily. And if you... We can't give you a bunch of them because we need more than what we got for a meeting tomorrow. And then we only got 2,500. And I said a while ago, well, maybe we should ask for 5,000 the next time. And now they're saying, no, we need at least 10. And now they're saying 20,000. But this right here says, try this. It will solve your problems. Now, the next ones that comes out, we're going to remove that S from the end of problems, and we're going to make it real personal and say, this will solve your problem. In other words, we know you got a problem, buddy. So this will get serious with them. Did you know if you change your decisions, you can change your life and others around you? The solution to any problem you have is to make better choices. This is your solution to make better decisions in advance and have the life you've always wanted. This program has been proven to work in all fields. Here's just a few. Turn over. Now, on the other side, we have this program, if you can see it there. This program has been proven to work in all fields, and we have workplaces, home environment, schools, daycare, after-school care, apartment dwellings, summer camp, rehab center, jails and prisons. The list can go on. Get peace back into your life. I think we should change that to get peace in your life, because nobody's got peace today at all. Contact us today and discover your solution. Give us the websites, phone numbers. Don't let this info die. Pass to someone else. And you can carry that easily in your shirt pocket, a few of them. And you see someone you want to give it to, then just hand it to him with the side one card up, first side up. So he'll read that instantly. This is going to solve your problem. The I have another pack here that I took out. We can add it to those if we run out. Now you saw the news. What what man is doing? What man's governments are doing? And of course, this is the plan of Yahweh to let them play their hand. Since they refused His laws, He says, well, this is what you're going to bring yourself to, so I'm going to let you do it. Nothing will be withheld from you. If you remember, this was in the days of Nimrod, the schools of higher learning. And by the way, if you have a missile or something that looks like a missile, we need it. I'd like to have a fairly big one. We need it before the Feast of Pentecost. If you've got something like that laying around. if not, we're going to have to make a shell of one to make it look like a missile. But if you got one that we can use, I'd like to have at least a 10 or 12 foot high where it'd stand on its end and stick up in the air. Let's see. Now this is a Sabbath bread wrapper. And last week I forgot to read it. I apologize for that. And also the cards. Believe it or not, we had young children in the house of Yahweh that actually made plans on this card right here. Yes. Yeah, you was one of them, weren't you? Praise Yahweh. Well, last Sabbath, the Sabbath bread... this is what makes the house of Yahweh so special. Rejoice in hope, persevering through tribulation. Was there a tribulation? Was there some? I can't remember anything but the joy. So, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That was last week. This week. Man does not live by bread alone. That's why we have you. Well, that's why I have you. I don't live alone. Praise Yahweh. Man does not live by bread alone, and that's why I have you to help. Praise Yahweh. and that is throughout all eternity, too. Yedidia sent me an article. I knew you'd wake up when I said that. Now, this goes along with today's news of hunting an excuse to, of course, to go into Syria. Korea drives U.S. to speed up Asian plans. Asia's plans. Korea drives U.S. to speed up Asia's plans. Now, this shows that there are plans that was made long ago, and in fact, Malachi Martin spoke of these plans. This is not an overnight thing. You know, Russia put a ship here, so we're going to put a ship there, plus a few ships carrying bombs, nuclear bombs, and so forth. No, these are the long-range plans. Now, what is taking place? It's the same crew that started in Nimrod's day, but the knowledge was held back from them. Until these last days, of course, and then it's given to them. But it's the same ones that's bringing it down and making plans, of course, to fulfill their lust, their dreams, as they say. And what amazes me is the non-caring attitude about the lives that are being taken here, about murders that is being performed. But that's always amazed me, too. When a person could kill a child and think nothing of it. And these two bombers in the Boston Marathon, they have the same mindset as those who, they call it abortion, trying to hide the fact that it's murder, but who murders all of these babies, and they think nothing of it because their Supreme Court says, it's okay, go ahead and kill those babies. We don't need them anyway. The world is better off without them. I mean, this is the attitude that we see coming forth from world leaders. Well, this is a plan now, and it says Korea drives U.S. to speed it up. I think that's the Queen of Heaven. They just got it mixed up. It's the Queen of Heaven that's inspiring this to be speeded up at this time. And of course, the Pope, who's saying we need to resurrect this Roman Empire. What was the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire went throughout the country. They had their roving soldiers. That's where it got its name. Roving soldiers or roving army that went throughout the countries. There would be people that would start, you know, maybe a family or a few families, and they wanted peace, and they would colonize in some place, and they thought they were hidden. And of course, it wouldn't be long because there were scouts out looking for these colonies. And when they found them, they would go to them with their roving army, and they would take them over. And they'd say, your tribute comes here. Now, if they submitted, that was fine and dandy. If they didn't, they would destroy them, take their children, put them in orphanage homes, and take them to Babylon, where they were raised in the religions that Constantine instituted. Before that, the elders of Israel instituted it and practiced it. Well, of course, today now you see the same thing, and the Pope saying we need to take these nations in. I don't know if you caught this, but when I was trying to listen to the news between phone calls yesterday, I said, hey, what did she say at the end of that? Well, what she said was, without an effective Islamic government, some of the Islams could become stronger. Now, this is what they're trying to prevent. They're trying to keep the religions down. And under the Roman Empire, under Constantine, he formed a government that was willing to kill anyone. And the Apostle Shaul was one of them. He was a trained Roman roving soldier. And he plainly says it in your Bible. And he said, I went with hatred, and I brought back men, women, and children. Drugged them in chains, even. That's what he told you when he was a roving soldier of the Roman Empire, led by the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. People don't believe their Bible, but it's all there. And of course, what we're seeing today is the last part of this. But if we fail to take over this government, this Islamic government is what this woman was saying. If we fail to take over this Islamic government, they're going to form bands and become stronger. And the Roman Empire was educated to do that thing. That's what the Nimrod system said. We'll build a tower. And he was a tyrant. And this system was. It was run by tyranny, the same way it is today. And, of course, it's being speeded up now to do exactly what the Pope said to do. And if you just think now, get it in your mind what Malachi Martin says and what the Scripture shows was going to take place. And this is Yahweh letting them play their hand out. But at the end, he says there will be nuclear war. Nuclear war. I was going to pass that up, but if you got any cucumbers, if you bought any cucumbers from Walmart, don't eat the things. Maybe you could take them and say, hey, this thing has got this chemical on it here. We better get Russia to come in here and invade this place and take it over, because we're using chemical warfare against our people here. Boy, what a joke. Well, this article that Yedidia sent me, North Korea's increased belligerence in prompting the Pentagon to accelerate its expanded military presence in Asia and the Pacific, a shift underway for the past year to counter China's growing power in the region. One of the films was about that, the news that we just showed you. It was, in fact, they asked the question, was this actually towards North Korea, or was it China we were after? Then remember again what Malachi Martin said Queen Mary was going to do. And she was going to make war against anyone who would not accept her, who would not worship her. Well, the Muslims don't worship Mary. And, of course, he named this religion. He also named China and Russia. And he said Russia is a teddy bear right now, but she could turn into a grizzly, which we have turned her into a grizzly now overnight, so to speak. And she is getting ready. So is China getting ready. And the end results, you know, as well as you know, that knowledge was increased in this past 100 years. How did they know knowledge was going to be increased? Who increased it? You see, you can't disbelieve these scriptures. They prove themselves. Praise Yahweh. Well, he says, on Wednesday, the Pentagon announced its intent to sell upgrades to the South Korean military for 60 F-15 fighters, and it's planned to move a missile defense system to Guam. That follows bombers and warships in the past days. The buildup reflects a long-term pivot to Asia by the Obama administration as it withdraws troops from Afghanistan and its war in Iraq recedes into history. Other changes were made with a clear focus on North Korea. Meanwhile, the North Korean Army said this morning in Korea that it had final approval to launch merciless military strikes on the United States involving the possible use of cutting-edge nuclear weapons, according to a statement published by the official KCNA news agency. I believe them. And, of course, that's what the world is doing. That's what we're looking for. Now, watch in your studies for man-made for the purpose. You got to get this in your mind. Yahweh is in control. He's bringing forth a plan. We are involved. We are the last day's remnant of this perfect priesthood. Yes, perfect priesthood. Man was made for the purpose to be made to let for Yahweh to make men in his image and after his likeness. Man came to be like gods instead, as Satan told him he could. Do this. Turn to sin. Accept this sin into your lives. Have a mixture here of righteousness and evil, and you'll be like the gods instead of being like Yahweh. That should be plain as the nose on anybody's face. To see what you can either be like the gods or you can be like Yahweh. But of course, man chose to be like the gods. Yahweh chose one family. Now, he plainly says that. You only. Of all the families of the earth have I chosen. He didn't choose to save the world at this time. He had a plan to prove to the world and prove to heaven and earth. On the 17th, there was someone called me and said they saw my face, I believe it was in the West, with a gold crown on my head. Don't let jealousy enter your mind. Believe me, my heart is for you. Totally. I'm your servant forever, and I want to be forever. And I'm striving, but if you don't make it in this group, you know, you won't make it. And I can tell you that for sure, you're not going to make it, because this is the only place that salvation is offered. And you really need to love your brothers 100%, including me. But Yahweh chose one family of the earth with which to deal and to make mankind in his image. Yahweh put them on display. Now, 2 days after this, I believe it was, 2 days after this, by the way, on the 17th also, was when I finished the song about the Feast of Weeks, which we're working on now, and you'll get a copy of it soon so you can learn it before the Feast of Weeks, so you can sing it, and hopefully we'll get it out to the others too. But I finished the song on that day. I didn't notice the date or anything, but then I was called and said, someone saw it here and took the picture, my face with the crown, a golden crown on my head. And I said, well, that goes along with Zechariah 6:9. I'd barely got off of the phone when another elder, a priest, called me and said, I saw your face looking at me in my rear view mirror as I was coming from Abilene. I said, really? Now, I'd just been told about the other one here that got the picture of this, and we'll be showing it during the feast. I tell you, don't miss this feast. There's some exciting things already building. I had just been told this by the first one that took the picture, and then the other one said he saw it, and I said, this is great. What did it look like? And he said, you had a gold crown on your head. So two witnesses saw this, and we got the pictures just in case anyone wants us to prove it. We can do so. I haven't seen them yet, but they told me they were plain as day. Now, a couple of days after that, I think this was the 19th. Maybe it was, yeah, the 19th when the picture was taken. But this was a picture that NASA took. It was a picture of the nebula, Orion. And if you've seen any of this taking place, now the ones, when I studied astronomy, I took a course in astronomy because I saw the importance of it. But when I was studying that, we didn't have anything like NASA has today. So I didn't know anything about this. But this picture that took place, NASA took the picture, and it looks like they say it's gas. They really don't know what it is, but they say it's gas, but it forms... Everybody can see this now. Everybody in astronomy can see what I'm about to tell you. But if you can imagine a gas cloud that never moves, and at least we're not seeing it move until it changes shapes, and then we get another picture of it and see, well, hey, this changed, and it's now this. I haven't seen any changes, and neither has NASA, but they showed this this one gas cloud, NASA did, and it showed a horse's head and neck and shoulders. And inside the neck was the Queen of Heaven. The horse was a pale color. So I said, man, this is going right along with Revelations. And I thought at the time when this was shown that, now they took this picture when they pulled up the Drudge Report. One of our priests saw these faces in this picture in the Orion, the nebula. And we're studying it more closely now, but when Yahshua said to look at these things, look up and look at, there'd be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, the planets and so forth, that actually means universe that it's speaking of there. So where Yahweh, he said, I call heaven and earth to witness, you know, well, he's got this witness in the heavens right now, and it looks like it's just laid out for the beings to see across the heavens. and of course, Yahweh says that right now the beings are actually anxious to see this last group make it. Of course, Yahweh is too, but he's got it on display. And he says he calls heaven and earth to witness this thing. And I'm seeing now that, yes, this is actually coming to pass, but in a different way than I thought. Of course, he's got reminders there. Now, Yahweh, of course, is the teacher. He's always been the teacher. He sends men, he inspires men to do these things, certain things. And he set seven works. That's represented, of course, by the 7 weeks that we're about to celebrate here. And the harvest from one work to another, the harvest is ready. In each case where he put a work, then he would harvest so many people out of that time period. And that represents, of course, the harvest of mankind and his kingdom of making man in his image. And each work that he had, he took out a group and set them aside for a special job, a special work. And Yahshua said of his disciples, they would be judges over the 12 tribes of Israel. Yahshua knew what was coming because he spoke of it. And I hope by Pentecost to get into a special part that's really going to cheer you up big time. But it shows Yahshua in charge of this that's taking place right now. Well, the scriptures all do, but this is a special scripture. I'm just going to save it till that last, till the day of Pentecost, and hopefully Yahweh will allow me to give it at that time. But this set seven works. To prove 7 points, 7 characters, 7 attributes, 7 qualities that can be used, each one having displayed a certain quality that Yahweh wanted to bring forth in that group, showing that he could. And then, of course, the perfected one was Yahshua himself that lived without sin. So he showed that he could have done this, but at the same time, since man turned to sin, he wanted to prove to mankind and the heavens and let them see it. It's like a movie being set played in front of us. But these 7 qualities in bringing mankind to perfection. Now, the 7th era is the first. It's the 7th, but it's the first. The first, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And this one is the one that we're called on to believe without seeing. And when he says first, he means like Yahshua said, become a slave. Become the lowest slave of all. And that's our job. That's what we're here for. You might have thought you came here to get a man or find a woman or start a start a Christian marriage or something like that. But you actually came here to find your job or be given a job in the house of Yahweh and then prove to Yahweh that you can rejoice while you're doing that job. Now, this believing without seeing has never been, you've never been a generation before this that was called on to do that. And it wasn't with the disciples, you know, so, but yet it was prophesied to be. So we know we're it. It's never been before. But Yahshua has called on us to believe without seeing, which we did. You know, I never asked for any miracles and I never saw one. I never saw one that I could actually prove was a miracle until this donkey appeared over the homestead, and I'm the one that saw it. And it was plain as day. We need no shadings or anything to see that donkey and the cloud in front of it. But then he took that donkey and he put it in front of the elders at the Feast of Lights. And not the donkey, but the cloud in front of the donkey. And then lo and behold, we find out later, and we got pictures of it. So, you know, the way he did it, we can prove exactly step by step how he brought it about. And the same cloud, exactly the same cloud, in front of the elders, and put the new moon behind it, the Feast of Lights, he put behind it and made the elders just stare, trying to figure out where that moon was. And then he had a woman show me and the elders where it was. Ain't that something that he chose a woman to do this? I actually think it's a woman that took his picture the other day, too. But anyway, that was the 17th. I wanted to tell you about that. The 17th. If you remember the number 17, I was given a lot, and I told everyone about this lot that I was given, and it was a stone, a white stone. I later saw that this was actually prophesied in Revelations, given a white stone, but it had three numbers on it, and the first number on that was 17. Now, I was expecting the 28. 28 was the next one. I was expecting something really big to take place on the 28th of the Omar, but it didn't. But he used the Roman 17 to show this first one. And I told you the crown, that was on the 17, crown on my head. And then the 17th is when I finished that song that I told you I wrote for the Feast of Weeks and Feast of Harvest. The harvest of the seven works that Yahweh brought forth. Now, we are the seventh. We are the seventh one, and he's going to harvest very, very soon now. And he's showing us in the clouds. He's showing it everywhere. So be a part of it. Don't let it slip by you. But the way you're a part of it is the way that the great Kohan Toby brought out in his sermon. But you show it by your works. Well, of course, believe without seeing. Believe without seeing. Well, Yahweh's not going to trust you in just saying, "Yeah, Yahweh, I believe without seeing." As he brought out, as the priest just brought out, it's seen in your works. And Yahweh is the judge. He's always been the judge from the start. He will be the final judge at the end of this. Yahshua qualified to be judge. And we have Yahshua, as the apostle said, we have Yahshua. We don't see all these things right now, but they're here, and we have Yahshua as an example. The apostles testifying, 12 apostles are testifying for this man. And you can deny all you want to, But if you'll check the dates, B.C. and A.C., and look at what occurred in history, you'll know that what occurred with this man changed the entire world. The entire world. B.C., A.C., study it out and look at the history that shows what all took place there with this change. And then the prophecies that took place after that was, this temple's going to be destroyed now. After this, it's no longer needed. Going to be destroyed. Zion Mountain there, this uplifted hill, is going to be plowed like a field. Now, before that, we had all of these things. We still got artifacts from these things. We got archaeological digs that said receipts that was written from the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem. So we know it was there, and these receipts that they found, like a tithe receipt from the house of Yahweh, and they got it in the museum right now. We have records of it. These are not lies. So we know that there was a temple, and it was called the house of Yahweh at one time, and they wrote receipts using the name Yahweh for that receipt. How can you possibly deny this? Praise Yahweh. Now, Yeshua inspired the apostle Jacob. Now, Kohan Toby touched on this, but I want you to turn over, and I want to point out one other thing to you here. In Jacob, that was called James in the King James, if you have a if you have a King James version. But I want you to look at Jacob 2. And remember, we're talking about Yeshua choosing us. And Yeshua is not going to make any mistakes. He won't believe your tongue, but he shows what he will believe. And the actions, as the great Kohan just brought out, is what Yeshua, who is our high priest and king over the house of Yahweh right now, that's what Scripture says. He's the one that judgment is given to, and he inspired this man right here. In fact, he's the one that taught this boy. He taught this boy as a young child. He taught him, and he wrote this book later, showing what Yeshua inspired him to write for you. You got that? You got the scripture there now? Chapter 2 now. And look at verse, chapter 2 and look at verse 18, I hope. Yes, a man may say. Now, a lot of people say this, and then they don't have their mind set strongly, so they're pulled away. Maybe gossip, that's what pulls most people away. Has Yahweh said? He showed you that in the beginning. Has Yahweh said this? Well, let me tell you something that they won't tell you in the house. Did you know this is taking place? You know this is taking place in the house? We got lawyers out there right now that are willing to pay you to give out false testimonies. Yes. Yes. They got the same ones were used against Yeshua. They're called Masons. The lawyers. The lawyers do more harm to America and its workforce than any group of people I know. They destroy jobs. They'll do anything to get a case against someone that's got money so they can go and take it. And all they need is false testimony to do so. So there will, yes, this goes on today. It's going on all over the world. They destroy more businesses than you would possibly dream of. And people refuse to go into business anymore. Many of them, they would say, well, I got enough money to last me the rest of my life. Why should I build a business and start others to work? They'd turn around and sue me. And this keeps people from creating jobs. If you destroyed the lawyers, if you destroyed that system right there, you'd create billions of jobs overnight. That's how bad it is. Well, Yahweh says that, yes, a man may say, but I'm not going to believe what he says. I'm not going to believe what comes from his tongue, because as the Indians said in Oklahoma, the old Indians, or maybe this was an old wives' tale, but it said they spoke with forked tongues. And when they made a peace treaty with the Indians, they'd make a peace treaty, but they'd never keep the word. That's what Yeshua said about the Pharisees. So apparently they're the same breed, the same system. The Pharisees said, when they read Moshe's law, do what they say, but don't follow their actions, because they say, but they do not. So he says, yes, a man may say, yet you have faith and I have works. Show me. See, that was the saying of Missouri. I think that's called the Show Me State. Show me. Well, that's what it is in the house of Yahweh, too, the judgment in these last days. Show me your faith without your works. And this is not talking about confidence. This word faith here means the whole religious system that Yahweh gave, the faith that he gave in the beginning, laws, statutes, and judgments. So show me this without your work, and I will show you. Now look at verse 19. You believe that there is one Father? You do well. The demons also believe it and tremble. But are you willing to know, O vain man, that the faith without works is dead? Yes, you're dead if you don't have the works to go with it. Well, what is the works? As the elder just brought out, your works is keeping a smile on your face when somebody spits in it and saying, praise Yahweh. When they slap you, what did Yeshua say? Hey, we found chemical weapons. Let's go blow the hell out of them. Was that what he said? That's what Billy Graham's son said. No, we can't be like David anymore here. I mean, we can't be like Yeshua anymore. We can't be like the Savior and turn the other cheek. We can't be like the Savior and say, find the problem. We've got a solution for it. We can't be like that anymore. We've got to be like David, he said. Well, David, because of the blood he shed, he threw away a great deal of power that he could have used to help in the kingdom. Now, the power he threw away, or was never meant to be his, by example, we can get. We can have that power, and you'll have power to help billions of people, beings throughout the universe, throughout eternity. Yes, I know we got a slave job right now. And I've rejoiced in my slave job. I rejoice that I've got a place. Praise Yahweh. I want you to be. And you can't just say with your tongue. I'm rejoicing. And everybody now that calls me, they'll say, how are you? And I say, I'm rejoicing. And I am. I'm actually rejoicing right now in spite of everything, all the opposition, all the lies that's being told, all the framework where they're framing charges and so forth. I'm still rejoicing. And but the faith without works is dead. Verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? He keeping Yahweh's laws. Genesis 26:5 says he kept my laws, my statutes, and my judgment. When he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar, do you see that the faith worked together with the works, and by works of faith made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham was faithful Now that's what you've got to be, faithful. When somebody tells you a tale and you listen and you don't correct that person, you know, are you building the house? Are you trying to build the house? That's the question you should keep in the mind. When someone is angry and they say something, or if they are not a believer and they're trying to talk you into leaving the house, you know, this is the only place on the face of the earth that you can come to the house of Yahweh and keep Yahweh's chosen appointments with you. It's the only place of salvation. Abraham was faithful. He was faithful. And that's what you've got to be a seed of Abraham. But that's not all you've got to be. To him, for righteousness, it was judged, counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of Yahweh. You see then that a man is also justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way was Rahab, the harlot, justified by works when she had become a messenger. When she had welcomed the messengers and sent them out a different way. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead being alone. Back to verse 22. Do you see that the faith works together with the works? And by works, the faith is made perfect. That is the person. By works, the man is made perfect. Turn back one page. Just lift up one page and turn it back, and you'll see Hebrews there. Hebrews 13, and look at verse 21. Make you perfect in every righteous work. You're made perfect. Now, if you add First Yochanan 3 and verse 7, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, or don't let any man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, but he who sins is of the devil. So you've got to stand up for Yahweh's righteousness, keeping his laws. The first one is, of course, keeping the Sabbath day at his house, at the place he chooses. Make you perfect in every righteous work to do his will. For the purpose, see, of doing his will. Do you get that? For the purpose. To set you apart. Well, that's what he's done in this seventh era here. He set you apart for that purpose. I need to cover at least two more scriptures. Look at Yochanan. Yochanan 5. Along with this now. Now, that show, of course, show me, you know, it's Yahweh that you're showing this. And, of course, Yahshua is the judge, as Yochanan 5. All judgment is turned over to me, he said, to Yochanan 5. Yochanan 5. He's our judge. He's also working very closely with us right now in this work of Yahweh. Yochanan 5 and verse 21, he says, "For as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, so also the Son offers life to those whom Yahweh wills." Notice it's whom Yahweh wills. So you're the show me. It's showing Yahweh. Show him that you know, you're not just speaking with your tongue, you're putting it into action. And rejoice while you're doing so. For the Father does not judge any man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, so that all men may honor the Son. That is the Son of Man. He created the Son of Man for this job. And he wants honor to go to the Son of Man, to you. He wants honor to go to you. Now, if you're showing dishonor to each other, get this now. Wake up. Listen to me. Are you awake, everybody? Woo! He wants you to honor one another. If you fail to honor one another, you're not building the house. You're not standing up for Yahweh. You're standing up for the accuser when you lend an ear to them and don't correct them to their face, as Yahweh said. Then you're lending an ear to Satan, the devil, who is man's accuser that is cast down at this time. This is Yochanan 5, verse 23 now. So that all men may honor the Son of Man. They may honor the Son of Man. All men must honor the Son of Man. You are the Son of Man. You're not a son of God. You are the Son of Man. And Yahweh says He's bringing honor to you. But you've got to stand up for and earn that honor. You can't listen to Satan in one ear and Yahweh in the other ear. If you do, the apostle said, you're being drug out. You're allowing yourself to be drug out. You can't speak with a forked tongue. No, that does, the only thing that proves to Yahweh is you're a liar. Not only that, but you're a damned liar. You're damned to burn in hell. And that's scripture. That's the King James Version. Look it up. But Yahweh says, so that all men, forever, throughout all eternity, may honor the Son of Man. It was given to Him because He was the Son of Man. It's not offered to anyone else except the Son of Man. It's offered to you if you'll stand behind your tongue and do what, hold up for Yahweh and His house, His work. Never let Him down. Just as they honor the Father. Get that? Did you get that? You honor the Son of Man just as you do the Father. Just as you do Yahweh. That's what Yahweh is putting on you right now. He's putting before you. He's got this coming to you if you will just set your heart and mind and soul on this and carry it through. Be strong in righteousness. Don't speak one thing and do another. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. No, you show dishonor to the Father with your work, with your tongue, and by your tongue you're going to be condemned. You're going to be damned. Not only are you going to be a liar, you're going to be a damned liar. Does not honor the Father either. If you don't show honor to the Son of Man, you don't show honor to Yahweh Himself. Pretty plain, right? Let's go back to Jacob one more time. This will be the last scripture. Don't applaud now. 33. Okay. Jacob 3, and look at verse 13. Page 955. Everyone get this now. Everyone read it from your own book of Yahweh. So who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it. Let him show it by his righteous conduct, by works done in meekness that comes from wisdom. The wisdom Yahweh teaches you at His house. But if you have bitter rivalries, you get that? That should never go on at Yahweh's house. If you're meek, you're certainly not going to be having this among you. Meek and humble, you're not going to be having this. If you have bitter rivalries and strife. Now here we are saying one thing with our tongue when we are in the presence of a priest and something else when a priest is not there between you? Well, this is the proof. Show me, he says. Show me this. You made your brag, now show me. That's what he said to Israel. But we've got more to do than anyone. You know, that's why we're going to shine like pure gold. We've got to. And we're shining. We're doing it. We've overcome so much, brethren. I'm amazed. I'm really amazed. Just get the kinks out. But if you have bitter rivalries and strife in your hearts, do not boast. Don't boast in this and lie against the truth. You're telling yourself a lie. If you're running the house of Yahweh down, if you're running anybody down in the house of Yahweh, you're running Yahweh down, saying Yahweh don't have sense enough to bring these people to perfection. Well, he does, and he's going to bring it. He may not bring you unless you repent, but he's going to bring his group, his remnant. You could count on that. And you can be a part of it, you know. You can be a part of it because he's called you to his house. Look at verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So you're worshiping the gods again. You're like the gods, as Yahweh, as you see in Genesis 3 again. Genesis 3, 5. Do this. Take part in bitter rivalries or gossip against the house or gossip against your brother. Why not just tell your brother, I don't want to hear any more of your lies. I don't want to hear any more of this crap. I'm going to prove myself to Yahweh. For where rivalry and strife are, there is confusion. Well, that's what Babylon. Remember Babylon? Genesis 10, Babylon. That's what the system Nimrod brought forth. Confusion, rivalry, and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And that's what we're called on to do. Pure. Pure is fine gold. Peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and righteous fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Well, of course, we are the ones making peace. That's what this card stands for right here is peace. That's what we stand for in the world. Even the judges are enemies. They say, what is this peaceful solution that I keep hearing about? And they've asked that question. And the people tell them, well, why don't you go out there to the house of Yahweh? Well, many are now. Yes, that's right. Many dignitaries now are turning to the house, and you're going to see a flow, Yahweh says. They will actually flow. If you look that up, it means they will come in a line, like a flood coming to Yahweh's house. It's just now picking up, but you're going to see it speed up now. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!
Great Kohan Tobia Hawkins!
Great Yahweh, you may all be seated. You know, when we all come to the house and we get understanding, and when Pastor brings this understanding to us, it brings joy. It brings joy to me, you know, understanding the things around us, why they take place, and like the new moon, the Sabbath days. All those things, when he explains that to us, and how, you know, the world doesn't understand these things and this great blessing that he's been to us as a family. And it's just been great that we're all getting the opportunity here to prove ourselves
to be fit for Yahweh's kingdom and get this knowledge that no one else in the world is getting at this time. So, praise God. I'd like to read something out of the Sabbath booklet. Or not, it's not a booklet, it's a book. It's on page 4. It says, Yochanan was sent to prepare a people for the work of Yahweh. Yochanan was sent by Yahweh to get the people ready to be used by Yahweh. Yochanan came to prepare them spiritually so Yahweh could work a spiritual work among those who were prepared. So he was among those who were prepared. It says, and then one of the hardest things for people to accept is the fact that sin cuts you off from Yahweh. Many times I have heard people tell me that they are serving Yahweh, but the only service they are speaking of was lip service, which will account for nothing on the day of sentencing, when the whole world will be judged according to their works. Just as in Revelations 20, 12 through 13, and it says, not by what they say. So we want to be judged by our works, not by what we say, but by our works. So what kind of works is he talking about here, and what is Pastor preparing us for? So is he talking about the works of our hands? The working with our brothers and sisters? The working with our families? Or the working of keeping Yahweh's laws? He's talking about all of them. Everything we do 24/7, every day. And that's the difference between the house of Yahweh and the religions today. You know, we are, you know, 24/7 about Yahweh's laws. And we need to be. Let's read Revelations 20, 12 through 13. It's on page 984. It says, and I saw small and great standing before Yahweh. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And you heard Pastor talk about the book of life and how to get your name written in the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There's that word works again. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, the death, the shallow, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. So according to your works, we need to be mindful of how we interact, what we do when we do break Yahweh's laws. Pastor brought it out, I think, a couple feasts ago. When we do break Yahweh's laws, we need to repent to Yahweh right away from breaking His laws and converting, you know, and confessing and not going back to that. That's the converting part. And examining ourselves, examining what took place in that situation and how we got to that point where we were breaking Yahweh's law. And make those changes in our lifestyle. And how do we make those changes? We go to these classes and we learn about and sit at the feet of the teachers in the afternoon and the morning services and get this knowledge out of the books of Israel, the book of Yahweh, the workshops, learning how to solve problems using the peaceful solution. All these are going to help us change that lifestyle, that old lifestyle that we want to get rid of, and become Yahweh's people. Okay, praise Yahweh. Let's turn over to page 169 in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, 13 and 14. It says, Yahweh will make you the head and not the tail. You will be at the top only and never at the bottom. If you will pay attention to the laws of Yahweh, your father, which I command you this day, and are then carefully to observe and do them. So if we pay close attention to these laws and observe them, you know, we will have the everlasting life, the keys to the kingdom. For if you diligently observe and do all of Yahweh's laws, then you will not go aside from any of the laws which I command you this day, to the right nor to the left, but go after any by going after any gods to serve them. You know, because we are being judged, like I said earlier, day in and day out, 24/7, by what we do, how we interact with people. Are we showing love and concern to our brothers when we interact with them? We need to make decisions not on our emotions, but on the laws, and make righteous decisions. And in verse 15, it says, if you do not obey Yahweh your Father and do not carefully follow His laws, His statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you and accompany you. And you can see that in the world, that the curses, we can see it in the news when the Great Khan brings the news out with the what they've done to the food supply, the environment. You know, these curses that man has done to the earth, to themselves, you know, by not following Yahweh's laws. We are seeing, you know, just in the advertisements, you know, they seem funny, but they are very serious when they promote their product in a positive way. Then they say they have this disclaimer saying, well, this might occur, and all these things occur because you're taking these drugs. So we need to be mindful and be diligent in observing all of Yahweh's laws. In verse 28, verse 1, it says, if you listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh, your Father, by observing and doing His laws, which I command you this day, that Yahweh your Father will set you high above all nations on earth as His kings and priests. And who is Yahweh's people? We are Yahweh's people, right? Praise Yahweh. And He's going to set us up high if we follow Him and be obedient to everything we're instructed to do, either by the Kahans, the Kohanas. And who is the voice of Yahweh in these last days? Israel Hawkins. Praise Yahweh. So Israel Hawkins is the voice in these last days, just like Moshe in his time. You know, he spoke to the people just like Pastor speaking, bringing Yahweh's laws to us and breaking it down. In Deuteronomy 30, it's on page 173, 14 through 20, it says, the law is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death by destruction. In that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all His ways, by keeping His laws, statutes, and judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you are going to possess. So, if we do these things, Yahweh promises that the blessings will come. And that's how important we need to stay focused on, you know, our studies, the things that are going to change our character. And then it says, but if your heart turns away, you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to submit to the gods, to go back out into the world. And Pastor is showing us, I mean, just in the news, all these shootings and killings in the schools, I mean, in the bombings. that it's not safe out there. This is the only safe place on earth right now. So, to worship them by serving them, I declare to you this day that you will surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Arden and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. You know, because you are free. Moral or a free agent to make your own choices between righteousness and evil. So it's back to making righteous decisions. And I mean, he gives us that choice. If we are going to start a conflict with somebody, or are we going to, you know, make that right choice and show love how we want to be treated, you know, in different situations. You know, showing that love to that brother and understanding, you know, that situation and getting a positive result out of that. And, you know, he gives us that opportunity, but it is so often, you know, by the movies, by the television, that they show evil, they show the wrong way to handle the situation. And that's what we got to get rid of in our minds. And a lot of us have been brought up in that. Without that teaching of Yahweh, without that teaching of Israel, the house of Yahweh, we need to make sure that we get that and make the right choices. Just like he says, we're a free agent, but, you know, we need to make sure we're making that right decision all the time. Okay? It says, choose life so both you and your children may live. And that right there, both you and your child. Children, that's how we're going. That's why it's so important that you spend the time. If you're a father and mother, you spend the time with your child. Come up to the sanctuary and spend the time in the classrooms. You know, because you also can make that difference by your example. Okay, we need to. Make sure that we're changing our children's lives. It says, so you may love Yahweh your Father by listening to Him and then obeying Him, holding fast to Him, for He is your life. He will also give you many years in the land He vows to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, let's turn over to Deuteronomy 32, a couple pages over. On page 175 and 32, 6 through 7. It says, do not repay Yahweh this way, O fools and unwise people. Is He not the Father of you? Is He not the Creator of you, who made you and formed you? It says, remember all the days of old. Think of the generations long past. Ask your Father, and He will tell you. Ask your elders, and they will explain. Did everybody watch the film during the feast with the testimonies in it? And do you guys, praise Yahweh, do you remember the example that the person gave when they left the house when they were young? There was a testimony of a person that when she was young, that she left the house, and then she came back to the house. You know, there was a very important reason why Pastor put that in there, because, you know, he's showing you that there's nothing out there. We need to be staying here in the house of Yahweh. There's nothing but sin and wickedness in out in the world. And we need to keep our mind focused on the kingdom and Yahweh's plan. And if you have problems, get with your counselors. Because, you know, there's only two options. Either we can listen to Pastor and obey what he says, and our names will be written in the book of life, or not. It's as simple as that. So when you go and you listen to all these things out in the world, I mean, You need to be thinking about that, how serious this is in these last days. And, you know, the effort that goes in, it's not going to be easy. Yahweh says it's not going to be easy making into the kingdom, you know. But we can do it. It's possible. Okay? We need to remember that. Praise Yahweh. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46. It's on the next page over. He says to them, take to heart all the words I testify among you this day, so that you may command your children to carefully observe and do all the words of this law. And you can remember Deuteronomy 6:7. It says, teach them diligently to your children. Teach the law diligently to your children. He says, these are not just idle words for you. We need to remember this, that when Pastor gets up here and speaks, the Kohans, the Kohanas, when they're given instructions, they're not just idle words for us just to, well, I don't think you really meant that. I mean, I think I can do this and I'll be all right. Well, you're not. It says, these laws mean life to you, and by them you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan and possess. So we need to remember that these are not just idle words, and how important just asking a question, getting counsel. Counsel is very important. To get that understanding of the law, you need to go to the priest, to sit at the feet of the priest. Okay? Don't go on your own understanding, because that's where you're going to get into trouble. You're going to be writing your name out of the book of life if you do. Okay? If I'll turn over to Exodus 17, page 59. Okay, it says, 17, 1 through 3, it says, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, traveling as Yahweh commanded, where they were encamped. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled in contempt with Moshe and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moshe said to them, why are you quarreling with me? Why do you tempt and test Yahweh? It says, but the people thirst for water there. And the people murmured against Moshe and said, why do you bring us out of Egypt to make us and your children and our livestock die of thirst? In this example here, that water can be anything. It can be your own test. But you need to understand, you need, in this situation, they should have sought counseling and got the counseling they needed. Why were they brought up there? Are they not waiting on Yahweh? Are we not waiting on Yahweh when we come across this, when we murmur against the house? We need to examine ourselves and use these examples that are in the scriptures to change our character, change our lifestyles, and not be these people that murmured over water. Yahweh provides everything. We got to remember that. We got to trust in Yahweh. And praise Yahweh. We may not understand at the time, and a lot of things you don't understand at the time, but there is a reason for everything that occurs in the house of Yahweh. Okay? Praise Yahweh. And that will help you if you keep that there's a reason for everything. You just might not understand at the time, but Yahweh will reveal it to you when it's time. Okay? And we got to remember that these are not just idle words. And when we make decisions, you know, they're making decisions on their emotions in this chapter here, as far as, you know, they're not reasoning with their thoughts as far as waiting on Yahweh. And, you know, and that's what we got to be mindful of, that we make decisions on facts and not our emotions. And that's how important it is, because, I mean, you can see that when we make decisions on our emotions, we're usually confessing about it, you know, because we didn't make a wise decision. Okay? And then we have to repent and convert, you know, and change that, you know, and examine ourselves and make sure that we don't go down that road anymore. We stay on that straight and narrow path, and we're not off to the side, you know, trying to get back on that road, you know, hitting all the potholes and, you know, in the ditch and everything. And, you know, we stay on that straight and narrow path and examine ourselves. Because it is pretty tough down there in the ditch when you're examining yourself. And hopefully you go to your kahans, your kohanas, and get back on that path. So, praise Yahweh. Let's turn to Moshe on page 696. It's on page 696. It says, can two walk together unless they are in agreement? And that goes along with everything I've been talking about. And we need to show love and concern to our brothers so we can walk together, so we can, you know, work out our differences. They're really not differences. They're just, you know, things that come up that, you know, in our past that what we're doing is we're thinking about ourselves and we're not thinking about, you know, Yahweh's plan. When we come up and we have a difference with our brother or sister, you know, it's all about us at that time. Okay? And that's what we need to start overcoming so we can work, so we can walk as two together in agreement. And that's what, that's pretty simple how to put it, I think, so we can, you know, walk together. And over in Moshe 5:4, it says, Yahweh said to his house of Israel, seek me and you will live. And that's what we need to do. We need to seek Yahweh's house. We need to come to Yahweh's house every Sabbath day, and participate in the Sabbath day and show love and concern to, you know, our brothers. Turn over to Deuteronomy 17. It's on page 161. 9 through 11. It says, go to the priest who are Levites, to the judgment who is the judges that are in office at that time. Ask for their decision that they may give you the sentence of judgment. You must act according to the sentence they pronounce. For you at the place the Yahweh chosen. Be careful to do all that is ordered for you to do. And that's what we got to be careful that we do all that we're instructed to do and not go, you know, on our own understanding and, you know, have that willingness in our heart and our mind that, you know, we are to do what we are instructed to do when we're giving tasks. It says 11, according to the laws they teach you, you shall do, and according to the decision they give you, you shall do. You must not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left hand from the sentence they pronounce to you. This teaching that Pastor is bringing us in this knowledge and this everything that he's giving us at this time in these last days to better ourselves, to bring forth the kingdom, to show us how the kingdom is going to be laid out is a great blessing because, like I said before, no one in the world is showing anybody except Yahweh, Pastor, at this time how this kingdom is laid out. Let's turn over to Proverbs on 5:11 to be for my last scripture. Proverbs 23, verse 16. It says, You will make my innermost being rejoice when your lips speak right things. And Pastor's brought this out before about the way we speak and how we speak and the words we use because you can't take them back. I mean, there was a thing on the news when a news reporter slipped up and said something he wasn't supposed to on the news. You know, that's what we got to be mindful of, how we interact, how we talk to one another, the words we use, and how important that is, because it's going to bring the innermost beings of Yahweh rejoice if we do this. If we keep his laws, if we do exactly what we're instructed to do and follow the one he has sent in these last days, Israel Hawkins. So, praise God. So at this time, if you all please stand, I'd like to introduce the great Kahan Sefania Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We're going to start this morning with a story about the drought, which they give a lot of percentages here and a lot of numbers here, but the bottom line is the drought's worse this year than it was last year. They've got a lot of different ways of measuring the drought. They have moderate drought, light drought, heavy drought. But don't pay attention too much to all those numbers. But the bottom line is that compared to last year, it's about 50% worse already, and we haven't even gone into summer yet. And then we have a story about millions of people being asked to conserve electricity. This is from last week, but we didn't have time to play it. But a San Jose, California power station was sabotaged by people who obviously knew what they were doing. And this is an act of terrorism. Of course, they're not talking about it much in the news, but they cut out the power to millions of people, and they knocked out their 911 service. And whenever you see this term terrorism, just think war. That's really what terrorism is. It's war making its way into the United States itself on the mainland. And then we're going to have a story about, remember, Pastor mentioned what motivated the bombers in the Boston Marathon. And when I first talked to him about this story, the first thing he told me was it was Afghanistan and Iraq. And that's exactly what the man said in the hospital. And this is right straight from Scripture. It's Genesis 4:15. Whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the whole world has gone the way of Cain. So if they stop attacking these people, they will stop attacking us. And then we had a story about has Syria crossed President Obama's red line? And there's two stories here in a row from 2 days, the 25th and the 26th. And they're talking about whether or not Syria has used chemical weapons. And if they have, that will mean the United States has justification to go in militarily into Syria or to support the Syrian rebels with weapons funding. But the bottom line on this is to watch the legalistic lingo that's used by the reporters doing this story, because what they're doing is they're injecting themselves into a case, and they talk about a case and evidence and the strength of the evidence, because they're looking for a judgment here, and they're trying to get a war against Syria going, and they're using the media to convince those in power to make this decision. And not just the populace, but they're actually aiming this at the people that have the power to make the decision. But listen, you'll think you're listening to a lawyer who's talking. And then we have, and they use very credible people to do these stories. You know, if you did have a case you needed to make for yourself, you'd want one of these guys to be your lawyer. And then we have our U.S. threats at North Korea really aimed at China. And this talks about how the conflict with North Korea is really the United States is, in the meantime, it's surrounding China. And Obama used the term a pivot toward China a few years ago, and people thought maybe that meant peace. But what they're finding out is that the U.S. has built a super base in South Korea. They put more battleships in Singapore, stronger relationships with Myanmar, which is a bad thing for China, and increased troop levels in Japan, the Philippines, and northern Australia. So this is all showing this buildup toward this war that's prophesied. That's going to kill a third of the people in the fourth part of the earth. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Ah, shalom. Oh, that's beautiful. Praise Yahweh. Boy, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The news, it's kind of humorous sometimes. When I saw that, you know, they'd found this chemical warfare being used and said what it was, and I said, wow, you know, if they'd examine the last swimmers that went to Possum Kingdom, they'd have excuse to go over there and bomb them people for chemical warfare. We got stronger chemicals than that in our lakes today. And more of them, too. Here they're blowing up all kinds of doctor's offices and drug stores. And hey, we found a chemical here. Get them troops over here. Let's take this country over quickly. Well, that's the world. The cards. We have cards. You see them anywhere? Cards. Where did we lay them? Table where? Prophetic word. Where's the prophetic word, Skip? Nobody knows? No, I'm just... Okay, they're on that same plate. Oh, you got one. Okay. Oh, y'all already got them. How'd you do that? Y'all got them over here? Oh, they're way ahead, all y'all over there. They're going to be a witness against you here. Well, anyway, we got some great cards here. That these will fit in your shirt pocket easily, and if you we can't give you a bunch of them because we need more than what we got for a meeting tomorrow, and then we only got 2,500, and I said a while ago, well, maybe we should ask for 5,000 the next time, and now they're saying no, we need at least 10. And now they're saying 20,000. But this right here says, try this, it will solve your problems. Now, the next ones that comes out, we're going to remove that S from the end of problems. And we're going to make it real personal and say, this will solve your problem. In other words, we know you got a problem, buddy. So this will get serious with them. Did you know if you change your decisions, you can change your life and others around you? The solution to any problem you have is to make better choices. This is your solution to make better decisions in advance and have the life you've always wanted. This program has been proven to work in all fields. Here's just a few. Turn over. Now, on the other side, we have this program. If you can see it there, this program has been proven to work in all fields. And we have workplaces, home environment, schools, daycare, after-school care, apartment dwellings, summer camp, rehab center, jails, and prisons. The list can go on. Get peace back into your life. I think we should change that to get peace in your life because nobody's got peace today at all. Contact us today and discover your solution. Give us the websites, phone numbers. Don't let this info die. Pass to someone else. And you can carry that easily in your shirt pocket, a few of them. And you see someone you want to give it to, then just hand it to him with the side one card up, first side up. So he'll read that instantly. This is going to solve your problem. I have another pack here that I took out. We can add it to those if we run out. Now you saw the news. What man is doing? What man's governments are doing? And of course, this is the plan of Yahweh to let them play their hand. Since they refused His laws, He says, well, this is what you're going to bring yourself to, so I'm going to let you do it. Nothing will be withheld from you. If you remember, this was in the days of Nimrod, the schools of higher learning. And by the way, if you have a a missile or something that looks like a missile. We need it. I'd like to have a fairly big one. We need it before the Feast of Pentecost if you've got something like that laying around. If not, we're going to have to make a shell of one to make it look like a missile. But if you got one that we can use, I'd like to have at least a 10 or 12 foot high where it'd stand on its end and stick up in the air. Let's see. Now this is a Sabbath bread wrapper. And last week I forgot to read it. I apologize for that. And also the carbs. Believe it or not, we had young children in the house of Yahweh that actually made plans on this card right here. Yes. Yeah, you was one of them, weren't you? Praise Yahweh. Last Sabbath, the Sabbath bread, this is what makes the house of Yahweh so special. Rejoice in hope, persevering through tribulation. Was there a tribulation? Was there some? I can't remember anything, but the joy. So, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That was last week. This week, man does not live by bread alone. That's why we have you. Well, that's why I have you. I don't live alone. Praise Yahweh. Man does not live by bread alone, and that's why I have you to help. Praise Yahweh. And that is throughout all eternity, too. Yedidia sent me an article. I knew you'd wake up when I said that. Now, this goes along with today's news of hunting an excuse to, of course, to go into Syria. Korea drives U.S. to speed up Asian plans. Asia's plans. Korea drives U.S. to speed up Asia's plans. Now, this shows that there are plans that was made long ago, and in fact, Malachi Martin spoke of these plans. This is not an overnight thing. You know, Russia put a ship here, so we're going to put a ship there, plus a few ships carrying nuclear bombs and so forth. No, these are the long-range plans. Now, what is taking place? It's the same crew that started in Nimrod's day, but the knowledge was held back from them until these last days, of course, and then it's given to them. But it's the same ones that's bringing it down and making plans, of course, to fulfill their lust, their dreams, as they say. And what amazes me is the non-caring attitude about the lives that are being taken here, about murders that is being performed. But that's always amazed me too, when a person could kill a child and think nothing of it. And these two bombers in the Boston Marathon, they have the same mindset as those who, they call it abortion, trying to hide the fact that it's murder. But who murders all of these babies, and they think nothing of it because their Supreme Court says, it's okay, go ahead and kill those babies. We don't need them anyway. The world is better off without them. I mean, this is the attitude that we see coming forth from world leaders. Well, this is a plan now, and it says Korea drives U.S. to speed it up. I think that's the Queen of Heaven. They just got it mixed up. It's the Queen of Heaven that's inspiring this to be speeded up at this time. And of course, the Pope, who's saying we need to resurrect this Roman Empire. What was the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire went throughout the country. They had their roving soldiers. That's where it got its name. Roving soldiers or roving army that went throughout the countries. There would be people that would start, you know, maybe a family or a few families, and they wanted peace, and they would colonize in some place, and they thought they were hidden. And of course, it wouldn't be long because there were scouts out looking for these colonies. And when they found them, they would go to them with their roving army, and they would take them over. And they'd say, your tribute comes here. Now, if they submitted, that was fine and dandy. If they didn't, they would destroy them, take their children, put them in orphanage homes, and take them to Babylon, where they were raised in the religions that Constantine instituted. Before that, the elders of Israel instituted it and practiced it. Well, of course, today now, you see the same thing, and the Pope saying, we need to take these nations in. I don't know if you caught this, but when I was trying to listen to the news between phone calls yesterday, I said, hey, what did she say at the end of that? Well, what she said was, without an effective Islamic government, some of the Islams could become stronger. Now, this is what they're trying to prevent. They're trying to keep the religions down. And under the Roman Empire, under Constantine, he formed a government that was willing to kill anyone. And the Apostle Shaul was one of them. He was a trained Roman roving soldier. And he plainly says it in your Bible. And he said, I went with hatred, and I brought back men, women, and children. Drugged them in chains even. That's what he told you when he was a roving soldier of the Roman Empire, led by the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. People don't believe their Bible, but it's all there. And of course, what we're seeing today is the last part of this. But if we fail to take over this government, this Islamic government is what this woman was saying. If we fail to take over this Islamic government, they're going to form bands and become stronger. And the Roman Empire was educated to do that thing. That's what the Nimrod system said. We'll build a tower. And he was a tyrant. And this system was. It was run by tyranny, the same way it is today. And, of course, it's being speeded up now to do exactly what the Pope said to do. And if you just think now, get it in your mind what Malachi Martin says and what the Scripture shows was going to take place. And this is Yahweh letting them play their hand out. But at the end, he says there will be nuclear war. I was going to pass that up, but if you got any cucumbers, if you bought any cucumbers from Walmart, don't eat the things. Maybe you could take them and say, hey, this thing has got this chemical on it here. We better get Russia to come in here and invade this place and take it over because we're using chemical warfare against our people here. Boy, what a joke. Well, this article that Yedidia sent me, North Korea's increased belligerence in prompting the Pentagon to accelerate its expanded military presence in Asia and the Pacific a shift underway for the past year to counter China's growing power in the region. One of the films was about that, the news that we just showed you. It was, in fact, they asked the question, this actually towards North Korea, or was it China we were after? Then remember again what Malachi Martin said Queen Mary was going to do. And she was going to make war against anyone who would not accept her, who would not worship her. Well, the Muslims don't worship Mary. And, of course, he named this religion. He also named China and Russia. And he said Russia is a teddy bear right now, but she could turn into a grizzly, which we have turned her into a grizzly now overnight, so to speak. And she is getting ready. So is China getting ready. And the end results, you know, as well as you know, that knowledge was increased in this past 100 years. How did they know knowledge was going to be increased? Who increased it? You see, you can't disbelieve these scriptures. They prove themselves. Praise Yahweh. Well, he says, on Wednesday, the Pentagon announced its intent to sell upgrades to the South Korean military for 60 F-15 fighters, and its plan to move a missile defense system to Guam. That follows bombers and warships in the past days. The buildup reflects a long-term pivot to Asia by the Obama administration as it withdraws troops from Afghanistan and its war in Iraq recedes into history. Other changes were made with a clear focus on North Korea. Meanwhile, the North Korean army said this morning in Korea that it had final approval to launch merciless military strikes on the United States involving the possible use of cutting-edge nuclear weapons, according to a statement published by the official KCNA news agency. I believe them. And, of course, that's what the world is doing. That's what we're looking for. Now, watch in your studies for man-made for the purpose. You got to get this in your mind. Yahweh is in control. He's bringing forth a plan. We are involved. We are the last day's remnant of this perfect priesthood. Yes, perfect priesthood. Man was made for the purpose for Yahweh to make men in his image and after his likeness. Man came to be like gods instead, as Satan told him he could. Do this. Turn to sin. Accept this sin into your lives. Have a mixture here of righteousness and evil, and you'll be like the gods instead of being like Yahweh. That should be plain as the nose on anybody's face. To see what you can either be like the gods or you can be like Yahweh. But of course, man chose to be like the gods. Yahweh chose one family. Now, he plainly says that. You only. Of all the families of the earth have I chosen. He didn't choose to save the world at this time. He had a plan to prove to the world and prove to heaven and earth. On the 17th, there was someone called me and said they saw my face, I believe it was in the West, with a gold crown on my head. Don't let jealousy enter your mind. Believe me, my heart is for you. Totally. I'm your servant forever, and I want to be forever. And I'm striving, but if you don't make it in this group, you know, you won't make it. And I can tell you that for sure, you're not going to make it, because this is the only place that salvation is offered. And you really need to love your brothers 100%, including me. But Yahweh chose one family of the earth with which to deal and to make mankind in his image. Yahweh put them on display. Now, 2 days after this, I believe it was, 2 days after this, by the way, on the 17th also, was when I finished the song about the Feast of Weeks, which we're working on now, and you'll get a copy of it soon so you can learn it before the Feast of Weeks, so you can sing it and hopefully we'll get it out to the others too. But I finished the song on that day. I didn't notice the date or anything. But then I was called and said, someone saw it here and took the picture. My face with the crown, a golden crown on my head. And I said, well, that goes along with Zechariah 6:9. I'd barely got off of the phone when another elder, a priest, called me and said, I saw your face looking at me in my rear view mirror as I was coming from Abilene. I said, really? Now, I'd just been told about the other one here that got the picture of this, and we'll be showing it during the feast. I tell you, don't miss this feast. There's some exciting things already building. I had just been told this by the first one that took the picture, and then the other one said he saw it, and I said, this is great. What did it look like? And he said, you had a gold crown on your head. So two witnesses saw this, and we got the pictures just in case anyone wants us to prove it. We can do so. I haven't seen them yet, but they told me they were plain as day. Now, a couple of days after that, I think this was the 19th. Maybe it was, yeah, the 19th when the picture was taken. But this was a picture that NASA took. It was a picture of the nebula, Orion. And if you've seen any of this taking place, now when I studied astronomy, I took a course in astronomy because I saw the importance of it. But when I was studying that, we didn't have anything like NASA has today. So I didn't know anything about this. But this picture that took place, NASA took the picture, and it looks like, they say it's gas. They really don't know what it is, but they say it's gas. But it forms... everybody can see this now. Everybody in astronomy can see what I'm about to tell you. But if you can imagine a gas cloud that never moves, and at least we're not seeing it move until it changes shapes, and then we get another picture of it and see, well, hey, this changed and it's now this. I haven't seen any changes, and neither has NASA, but they showed this one gas cloud, NASA did, and it showed a horse's head and neck and shoulders. And inside the neck was the Queen of Heaven. The horse was a pale color. So I said, man, this is going right along with Revelations. And I thought at the time when this was shown that... Now, they took this picture when they pulled up the Drudge Report. One of our priests saw these faces in this picture in the Orion, the nebula. And we're studying it more closely now. But when Yahshua said to look at these things, look up and look at, there'd be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, the planets and so forth. That actually means universe that it's speaking of there. So where Yahweh, he said, I call heaven and earth to witness, you know. Well, he's got this witness in the heavens right now, and it looks like it's just laid out for the beings to see across the heavens. And of course, Yahweh says that right now, the beings are actually anxious to see this last group make it. Of course, Yahweh is too, but he's got it on display. And he says he calls heaven and earth to witness this thing. And I'm seeing now that, yes, this is actually coming to pass, but in a different way than I thought. And of course, he's got reminders there. Now, Yahweh, of course, is the teacher. He's always been the teacher. He sends men, he inspires men to do these things, certain things. And he set seven works. That's represented, of course, by the 7 weeks that we're about to celebrate here. And the harvest from one work to another, the harvest is ready. In each case where he put a work, then he would harvest so many people out of that time period. And that represents, of course, the harvest of mankind and his kingdom of making man in his image. And each work that he had, he took out a group and set them aside for a special job, a special work. And Yahshua said of his disciples, they would be judges over the 12 tribes of Israel. Yahshua knew what was coming because he spoke of it. And I hope by Pentecost to get into a special part that's really going to cheer you up big time. But it shows Yahshua in charge of this that's taking place right now. Well, the scriptures all do, but this is a special scripture. I'm just going to save it till that last, till the day of Pentecost, and hopefully Yahweh will allow me to give it at that time. But this set seven works to prove 7 points, 7 characters, 7 attributes, 7 qualities that can be used, each one having displayed a certain quality that Yahweh wanted to bring forth in that group, showing that he could. And then, of course, the perfected one was Yahshua himself that lived without sin. So he showed that he could have done this, but at the same time, since man turned to sin, he wanted to prove to mankind and the heavens and let them see it. It's like a movie being set played in front of us. But these 7 qualities in bringing mankind to perfection. Now, the 7th era is the first. It's the 7th, but it's the first. The first, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And this one is the one that we're called on to believe without seeing. And when he says first, he means like Yahshua said, become a slave. Become the lowest slave of all. And that's our job. That's what we're here for. You might have thought you came here to get a man or find a woman or start a Christian marriage or something like that. But you actually came here to find your job or be given a job in the house of Yahweh and then prove to Yahweh that you can rejoice while you're doing that job. Now, this believing without seeing has never been, you've never been a generation before this that was called on to do that. And it wasn't with the disciples, you know, so, but yet it was prophesied to be. So we know we're it. It's never been before. But Yahshua has called on us to believe without seeing, which we did. You know, I never asked for any miracles, and I never saw one. I never saw one that I could actually prove was a miracle until this donkey appeared over the homestead, and I'm the one that saw it. And it was plain as day. We need no shadings or anything to see that donkey and the cloud in front of it. But then he took that donkey and he put it in front of the elders at the Feast of Lights, and not the donkey, but the cloud in front of the donkey. And then lo and behold, we find out later, and we got pictures of it, so, you know, the way he did it, that, you know, we can prove exactly step by step how he brought it about. And the same cloud, exactly the same cloud, in front of the elders, and put the new moon behind it, the Feast of Lights, he put behind it and made the elders just stare, trying to figure out where that moon was. And then he had a woman show me and the elders where it was. Ain't that something that he chose a woman to do this? I actually think it's a woman that took his picture the other day, too. But anyway, that was the 17th. I wanted to tell you about that. The 17th. If you remember the number 17, I was given a lot. And I told everyone about this lot that I was given. And it was a stone, a white stone. I saw that this was actually prophesied in Revelations, given a white stone, but it had three numbers on it, and the first number on that was 17. Now, I was expecting the 28. 28 was the next one. I was expecting something really big to take place on the 28th of the Omar, but it didn't. But he used the Roman 17 to show this first one. And I told you the crown, that was on the 17, crown on my head. And then the 17th is when I finished that song that I told you I wrote for the Feast of Weeks and Feast of Harvest. The harvest of the seven works that Yahweh brought forth. Now, we are the seventh. We are the seventh one, and he's going to harvest very, very soon now. And he's showing us in the clouds. He's showing it everywhere. So be a part of it. Don't let it slip by you. But the way you're a part of it is the way that the great Kohan Toby brought out in his sermon. You show it by your works. Well, of course, believe without seeing. Believe without seeing. Well, Yahweh's not going to trust you in just saying, "Yeah, Yahweh, I believe without seeing." As he brought out, as the priest just brought out, it's seen in your works. And Yahweh is the judge. He's always been the judge from the start. He will be the final judge at the end of this. Yahshua qualified to be judge. And we have Yahshua, as the apostle said, we have Yahshua. We don't see all these things right now, but they're here, and we have Yahshua as an example. The apostles testifying, 12 apostles are testifying for this man, and you can deny all you want to, but if you'll check the dates, B.C. and A.C., and look at what occurred in history, you'll know that what occurred with this man changed the entire world. The entire world. B.C., A.C., study it out and look at the history that shows what all took place there with this change. And then the prophecies that took place after that was, this temple's going to be destroyed now. After this, it's no longer needed. Going to be destroyed, Zion Mountain there. This uplifted hill is going to be plowed like a field. Now, before that, we had all of these things. We still got artifacts from these things. We got archaeological digs that said receipts that was written from the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem. So we know it was there, and these receipts that they found, like a tithe receipt from the house of Yahweh, and they got it in the museum right now. We have records of it. These are not lies. So we know that there was a temple, and it was called the house of Yahweh at one time, and they wrote receipts using the name Yahweh for that receipt. How can you possibly deny this? Praise Yahweh. Now, Yeshua inspired the apostle Jacob. Now, the great Kohan Toby touched on this, but I want you to turn over, and I want to point out one other thing to you here. In Jacob, that was called James in the King James, if you have a if you have a King James version. But I want you to look at Jacob 2. And remember, we're talking about Yeshua choosing us. And Yeshua is not going to make any mistakes. He won't believe your tongue, but he shows what he will believe. And the actions, as the great Kohan just brought out, is what Yeshua, who is our high priest and king over the house of Yahweh right now, that's what Scripture says. He's the one that judgment is given to, and he inspired this man right here. In fact, he's the one that taught this boy. He taught this boy as a young child. He taught him, and he wrote this book later showing what Yeshua inspired him to write for you. You got that? You got the Scripture there now? Chapter 2 now, and look at verse... chapter 2 and look at verse 18, I hope. Yes, a man may say. Now, a lot of people say this, and then they don't have their mind set strongly, so they're pulled away. Maybe gossip, that's what pulls most people away. Has Yahweh said? He showed you that in the beginning. Has Yahweh said this? Well, let me tell you something that they won't tell you in the house. Did you know this is taking place? You know this is taking place in the house? We got lawyers out there right now that are willing to pay you to give out false testimonies. Yes. Yes. They got the same ones were used against Yeshua. They're called Masons. The lawyers do more harm to America and its workforce than any group of people I know. They destroy jobs. They'll do anything to get a case against someone that's got money so they can go and take it. And all they need is false testimony to do so. So there will, yes, this goes on today. It's going on all over the world. They destroy more businesses than you would possibly dream of. And people refuse to go into business anymore. Many of them, they would say, well, I got enough money to last me the rest of my life. Why should I build a business and start others to work? They'd turn around and sue me. And this keeps people from creating jobs. If you destroyed the lawyers, if you destroyed that system right there, you'd create billions of jobs overnight. That's how bad it is. Well, Yahweh says that, yes, a man may say, but I'm not going to believe what he says. I'm not going to believe what comes from his tongue, because as the Indians said in Oklahoma, the old Indians... Or maybe this was an old wives' tale, but it said they spoke with forked tongues. And when they made a peace treaty with the Indians, they'd make a peace treaty, but they'd never keep the word. That's what Yeshua said about the Pharisees. So apparently they're the same breed, the same system. The Pharisees said, when they read Moshe's law, do what they say, but don't follow their actions because they say, but they do not. So he says, yes, a man may say, yet you have faith and I have works. Show me. See, that was the saying of Missouri. I think that's called the show me state. Show me. Well, that's what it is in the house of Yahweh, too, the judgment in these last days. Show me your faith without your works. And this is not talking about confidence. This word faith here means the whole religious system that Yahweh gave, the faith that he gave in the beginning, laws, statutes, and judgments. So show me this without your work. And I will show you. Now look at verse 19. You believe that there is one Father. You do well. The demons also believe it and tremble. But are you willing to know, O vain man, that the faith without works is dead? Yes, you're dead. If you don't have the works to go with it. Well, what is the works? As the elder just brought out, your works is keeping a smile on your face when somebody spits in it and saying, praise Yahweh. When they slapped you, what did Yahshua say? Hey, we found chemical weapons. Let's go blow the hell out of them. Was that what he said? That's what Billy Graham's son said. No, we can't be like David anymore here. I mean, we can't be like Yahshua anymore. We can't be like the Savior and turn the other cheek. We can't be like the Savior and say, find the problem. We've got a solution for it. We can't be like that anymore. We've got to be like David, he said. Well, David, because of the blood he shed, he threw away a great deal of power that he could abuse to help in the kingdom. Now, the power he threw away or was never meant to be his, by example, we can get. We can have that power, and you'll have power to help billions of people, beings throughout the universe, throughout eternity. Yes, I know we got a slave job right now. And I've rejoiced in my slave job. I rejoice that I've got a place. Praise Yahweh. I want you to be. And you can't just say with your tongue. I'm rejoicing. And everybody now that calls me, they'll say, how are you? And I say, I'm rejoicing. And I am. I'm actually rejoicing right now in spite of everything, all the opposition, all the lies that's being told, all the framework where they're framing charges and so forth, I'm still rejoicing. And but the faith without works is dead. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works? He keeping Yahweh's laws. Genesis 26:5 says, he kept my laws, my statutes, and my judgment. When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, Do you see that the faith worked together with the works, and by works of faith made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham was faithful. Now that's what you've got to be, faithful. When somebody tells you a tale and you listen and you don't correct that person, you know, are you building the house? Are you trying to build the house? That's the question you should keep in the mind. When someone is angry and they say something, or if they are not a believer and they're trying to talk you into leaving the house, you know, this is the only place on the face of the earth that you can come to the house of Yahweh and keep Yahweh's chosen appointments with you. It's the only place of salvation. Abraham was faithful. He was faithful. And that's what you've got to be a seed of Abraham. But that's not all you've got to be. To him, for righteousness, it was judged, counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of Yahweh. You see then that a man is also justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way was Rahab, the harlot, justified by works when she had become a messenger. When she had welcomed the messengers and sent them out a different way. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead, being alone. Back to verse 22. Do you see that the faith works together with the works? And by works, the faith is made perfect. That is the person. By works, the man is made perfect. Turn back one page. Just lift up one page and turn it back, and you'll see Hebrews there. Hebrews 13, and look at verse 21. Make you perfect in every righteous work. You're made perfect. Now, if you add First Yochanan 3 and verse 7, don't be deceived, or don't let any man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, but he who sins is of the devil. So you've got to stand up for Yahweh's righteousness, keeping his laws. The first one is, of course, keeping the Sabbath day at his house, at the place he chooses. Make you perfect in every righteous work to do his will, for the purpose, see, of doing his will. Do you get that? For the purpose, to set you apart. Well, that's what he's done in this seventh era here. He set you apart for that purpose. I need to cover at least two more scriptures. Look at Yochanan. Yochanan 5, along with this now. Now, that show, of course, show me, you know, it's Yahweh that you're showing this. And, of course, Yahshua is the judge, as Yochanan 5. All judgment is turned over to me, he said, to Yochanan 5. Yochanan 5. He's our judge. He's also working very closely with us right now in this work of Yahweh. Yochanan 5 and verse 21, he says, "For as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, so also the Son offers life to those whom Yahweh wills." Notice it's whom Yahweh wills. So you're the show me. It's showing Yahweh. Show him that you know, you're not just speaking with your tongue, you're putting it into action. And rejoice while you're doing so. For the Father does not judge any man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, so that all men may honor the Son. That is the Son of Man. He created the Son of Man for this job. And he wants honor to go to the Son of Man, to you. He wants honor to go to you. Now, if you're showing dishonor to each other, get this now. Wake up. Listen to me. Are you awake, everybody? Woo! He wants you to honor one another. If you fail to honor one another, you're not building the house. You're not standing up for Yahweh. You're standing up for the accuser when you lend an ear to them and don't correct them to their face, as Yahweh said. Then you're lending an ear to Satan, the devil, who is man's accuser that is cast down at this time. This is Yochanan 5. Verse 23 now. so that all men may honor the Son of Man. They may honor the Son of Man. All men must honor the Son of Man. You are the Son of Man. You're not a son of God. You are the Son of Man. And Yahweh says He's bringing honor to you. But you've got to stand up for and earn that honor. You can't listen to Satan in one ear and Yahweh in the other ear. If you do, the apostle said, you're being drug out. You're allowing yourself to be drug out. You can't speak with a forked tongue. No, that does, the only thing that proves to Yahweh is you're a liar. Not only that, but you're a damned liar. You're damned to burn in hell. And that's scripture. That's the King James Version. Look it up. But Yahweh says, so that all men, forever, throughout all eternity, may honor the Son of Man. It was given to Him because He was the Son of Man. It's not offered to anyone else except the Son of Man. It's offered to you if you'll stand behind your tongue and do what, hold up for Yahweh and His house, His work. Never let Him down. Just as they honor the Father. Get that? Did you get that? You honor the Son of Man just as you do the Father. Just as you do Yahweh. That's what Yahweh is putting on you right now. He's putting before you. He's got this coming to you if you will just set your heart and mind and soul on this and carry it through. Be strong in righteousness. Don't speak one thing and do another. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. No, you show dishonor to the Father with your work, with your tongue, and by your tongue you're going to be condemned. You're going to be damned. Not only are you going to be a liar, you're going to be a damned liar. Does not honor the Father either. If you don't show honor to the Son of Man, you don't show honor to Yahweh Himself. Pretty plain, right? Let's go back to Jacob one more time. This will be the last scripture. Don't applaud now. 33. Okay. Jacob 3, and look at verse 13. Page 955. Everyone get this now. Everyone read it from your own book of Yahweh. So who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it. Let him show it by his righteous conduct, by works done in meekness that comes from wisdom. The wisdom Yahweh teaches you at His house. But if you have bitter rivalries, you get that? That should never go on at Yahweh's house. If you're meek, you're certainly not going to be having this among you. Meek and humble, you're not going to be having this. If you have bitter rivalries and strife. Now here we are saying one thing with our tongue when we are in the presence of a priest and something else when a priest is not there between you. Well, this is the proof. Show me, he says. Show me this. You made your brag, now show me. That's what he said to Israel. But we've got more to do than anyone. You know, that's why we're going to shine like pure gold. We've got to. And we're shining. We're doing it. We've overcome so much, brethren. I'm amazed. I'm really amazed. Just get the kinks out. But if you have bitter rivalries and strife in your hearts, do not boast. Don't boast in this and lie against the truth. You're telling yourself a lie. If you're running the house of Yahweh down, if you're running anybody down in the house of Yahweh, you're running Yahweh down, saying Yahweh don't have sense enough to bring these people to perfection. Well, he does, and he's going to bring it. He may not bring you unless you repent, but he's going to bring his group, his remnant. You could count on that. And you can be a part of it, you know. You can be a part of it because he's called you to his house. Look at verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So you're worshiping the gods again. You're like the gods, as Yahweh, as you see in Genesis 3 again. Genesis 3, 5. Do this. Take part in bitter rivalries or gossip against the house or gossip against your brother. Why not just tell your brother, I don't want to hear any more of your lies. I don't want to hear any more of this crap. I'm going to prove myself to Yahweh. For where rivalry and strife are, there is confusion. Well, that's what Babylon. Remember Babylon? Genesis 10, Babylon. That's what the system Nimrod brought forth. Confusion, rivalry, and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And that's what we're called on to do. Pure. Pure is fine gold. Peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and righteous fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Well, of course, we are the ones making peace. That's what this card stands for right here is peace. That's what we stand for in the world. Even the judges, our enemies, they say, what is this peaceful solution that I keep hearing about? And they've asked that question, and the people tell them, well, why don't you go out there to the house of Yahweh? Well, many are now. Yes, that's right. Many dignitaries now are turning to the house, and you're going to see a flow, Yahweh says. They will actually flow. If you look that up, it means they will come in a line, like a flood coming to Yahweh's house. It's just now picking up, but you're going to see it speed up now. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!